Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
It is Love Sport, and this is the Transfer Rumour Mill show with myself, Jake Watson, in for Johnny Burrow tonight, and also tomorrow, and also Friday. So if you don't like me, those are the times to turn up. I'm on 7 till 10. Johnny will be back next week, don't worry about that. But up in the Transfer Rumour Mill, on the to-do list to talk about this evening, Mo Salah, a rather interesting story linking him with a move to Barcelona. Also some quotes from Wayne Rooney about Jadon Sancho's future. Wayne Rooney, of course, a Manchester United legend who did everything there, didn't he? He is the club's record scorer. Well, he's been speaking about Jadon Sancho, a man who has been heavily linked with a move to Manchester United, and hasn't exactly been saying what you think he would be saying. So we'll do that in a little while. And also, as you may or may not know, I'm a Leicester City fan, so you cannot blame me for wanting to talk about Youri Tielemans this evening. It's not a transfer rumour because it's done. Youri Tielemans is a Leicester City player, a deal confirmed for 40 million quid. Try not to get too excited. Everyone outside of Leicester are saying what a side we're putting together, how far could they go, all this nonsense. To know what, honestly and truly, I'm not expecting or hoping for anything. I'm just looking forward to going down to the King Power and watching my team next season. I'd go as far as to say, by the way, Youri Tielemans is probably the best player we've ever signed. We may have had better players, but they've developed at Leicester City, you know, the likes of Vardy, Mahrez and Kante. But in terms of a player at the level he's at already, I mean, it kind of goes without saying the fact he's cost 40 million quid, but it's a pretty big deal for Leicester City fans. So later on the show, we're going to be speaking to Lee Chappie from 100% LCFC. You may or may not know him, but just to help you out, Lee is the Jamie Vardy lookalike. He's going to join us on the show in around 45 minutes' time. But before we do any of that, let's talk some Serie A. And when we do Serie A, of course, there's only one man to speak to. It's, of course, Rich Hall from Football Italia. Rich, good evening, mate. Good to speak to you again.
How are you doing? You okay?
Yeah, mate. I'm very well indeed. I'm a very, very happy Leicester City fan. But we'll save that. You don't want to hear me talk about Leicester City, I'm sure everyone else is already bored of my Twitter feed, getting rather excited about it all. So look, let's talk about Manchester League. We felt like for a long time we've known his destination, with it being in Italy, as opposed to, I suppose, there were links, weren't there, for Manchester United and loosely Man City. So what's the movement now on De Ligt?
Yeah, it's interesting because, like you said, it was interest from Barcelona and later on with PSG, who tried to sort of upset the apple cart with this one a little bit. It seems as though, Matthias De Ligt's mind's been set up for a while that it's going to be Juventus here. Mino Raiola, his agent, has confirmed that now. He said that, now the terms have been agreed with Juventus, personal terms, that is, it's just down to them to settle that fee. Now, the interesting thing about this is last Monday, most of the Italian papers were saying that on the Tuesday, De Ligt was going to be revealed to the press. It didn't happen. So they feel like the personal terms have been agreed for a long time, but it is still a bit of a sticking point on the transfer fee. And it is that late interest from Paris Saint-Germain and Barcelona that has sort of just kept this in the balance a little bit. However, it is thought that he will actually turn up for his medical on Wednesday and it should all be completed. Although he did turn up for training at Ajax today, so he's still there in body and mind at the moment.
So why is it, Rich, do you think that he has had his heart set on this move to Juventus? Because, you know, he is probably the most sought after defender in the world, and he did have those options, as you mentioned, of a Man City and PSG. They're both incredibly attractive propositions. I mean, I'd go as far as saying maybe he could have earned more money at those clubs. So why is it that he has had his heart set on this move to Juve?
You can only, wonder of why, but it does make some sort of sense. I mean, De Ligt is obviously we know he's a very mature player, even though he's extremely young and he is going to want to develop. And there's a real chance for him to actually play a lot of game time at Juventus because they're still over-reliant on the likes of Giorgio Chiellini, Barzagli, who's now retired, and Bonucci. These players who've been established as that back line, for so long, and he can learn now to come in with these players and start to take the mantle quickly because Juventus need that. Some of their young prospects, like Daniele Rugani, haven't really come through to the fore, so there's a real chance for him there. And as well, you know, he gets to play with Cristiano Ronaldo at the end of the day. It must be some influence there as well. But I think if there was one, you're right, he could probably go and earn a lot more money at Manchester City or Paris Saint-Germain. There's almost like that Dutch sort of almost cultured fit, you would say, that would be Barcelona. You know, the links there. But if you're going to learn your art in defending, probably not Juventus right now.
Yeah, no, and it's a number of very, very good points. How does it fit? What's the mood like in Italy? Because I think we had a similar conversation, Rich, last summer when they signed Ronaldo, thinking, well, it just means that this gap between Juve and everyone else in that division is just going to grow bigger and bigger. Is, again, the mood of a slight frustration because this is a player that everyone wants?
Yes, I think there is that. I mean, as I said last time, you know, every time that Inter or Napoli up their game by 5%, Juve managed to do about 10%, if not more. And this signing, again, you know, it's just another statement of intent. There is a bit more positivity at the moment because the likes of Napoli and Inter are being linked with some really big players at the moment. Napoli, in particular, under Ancelotti, are taking really, really good shape. You know, the likes of James Rodriguez and now Mauro Icardi potentially could, go over to Naples, mean that they are a really serious threat. And especially with Maurizio Sarri having to get used to Juventus to get used to him as well, because for Maurizio Sarri to go there is, I can't explain how much of a huge gamble that is for Juventus in some respects, because it's so outside their comfort zone of what they're used to. And then you look over at Inter, and Antonio Conte is well under the table there. You know, he's got his feet well under the table, and he came out and said, listen, you know, there's going to be some serious attitude changes in Milan for this. And, you know, they also will be able to spend some money if they can release one or two players.
So is it fair, I mean, I'm looking at this, that Maurizio Sarri, he can feel incredibly fortunate to have this job, because he was he even their first choice? I mean, I'm just looking at this Juve side now, because clearly the aspirations, and I mean this with the greatest of respects to Sarri, they're accumulating some of the biggest stars in the world. And as far as managers go, Sarri's not perhaps at that. I mean, you'll know how he's respected and viewed more in Italy than I. But it just feels that of everything's in place now for Juve to be a global super club. But if anything, Richard Sarri just feels a little bit underwhelming in comparison.
Yeah, it's a really good point. But the reason it's so left field is that when Maurizio Sarri left for Chelsea, he was seen as, almost like a figure like Arrigo Sacchi, the guy, you know, he never played the game before. He was a merchant banker. He's coached many, many small teams. And what he did at Napoli and Empoli before that was have these teams play amazing football. So he's been known as that sort of philosopher, the one that puts the game before anything else. You know, he's uncouth. He's politically incorrect in Italy. We didn't see as much of that over here. You know, he's always wearing the tracksuits. He's a real left-field approach for Juventus. Now, Juventus' motto is, you know, winning isn't the only thing that matters, it's the only thing that counts. You know, and for them, they've never looked for pretty football or philosophy. They just want to win, and that is it. So you look at someone like Allegri, who was coaching them before, you know, he's always in his suit, he's a gentleman, he's very polished, very finished. And what they've done is they've gone completely left field for Sarri. You know, he doesn't want to wear the suit, he didn't even like wearing it in his press conference beforehand. You know, he's everything that Juventus aren't. But the reason they're doing it is because we've seen the slow transformation over the years with Juventus. You know, this year the kit's not having the stripes. It's looking, trying to appeal to the American market. They changed the emblem of the badge. It now looks more of a brand. It's just a J. It's called a J Stadium. And then, you know, originally, there's this sort of movement by the Agnelli to take Juventus out of that Italian football bracket and to make them a global brand. And they think to do that, they need to play pretty football. And that's why Sarri's come over.
So you talk about Antonio Conte with his feet well under the table at Inter Milan. There are some very positive noises coming out of that club with their hopes for the season. The big one we spoke about a number of times is Romelu Lukaku, will it or won't it? I've seen some suggestions that Mauro Icardi or Ranger Nainggolan are two players that have been offered to Manchester United, perhaps in exchange.
Yeah, this was interesting because it was well known that Beppe Marotta, a sporting director at Inter, Antonio Conte were the ones who worked together at Juventus and started this huge winning streak they're on. Now they're together at Inter. They were sat at the table of the first press conference, and it did look something out of the scene from The Godfather. They were both very serious and very, very to the point, even to the fact that when asked very early on by the press, you know, look at Reggie Nianglund and Mauro Icardi, have they got a future? The answer was no, 100% no. They're going in a different way. The whole press conference was geared up about this club is going to be about hard work first and discipline. Winning comes second to this. We're going to change the mentality of the club. And it was very harsh and very very to the point. It looks as though Mauro Icardi and Nianglund had been offered, and Perisic at one point as well, even though that was before Conte came in, to Manchester United in exchange for Lukaku. And United, I think, don't want to have a character like Mauro Icardi because of the...
Well, where do we start?
That comes with him.
Yeah, where do we start? Yeah.
Exactly. But it is looking likely. I mean, there is links now with Icardi looking like he could either be offered to Napoli. Beppe Marotta said, we will negotiate with anybody who wants him. That's a clear enough message. Same for Nainggolan. So if they can get those two off the books, you know, it looks like Lukaku is certainly going to be one who'll come over. And also Nicolò Barella from Calgary looks like a done deal almost as well. They said to reach the agreement tonight. So interesting times at Inter. And I think it could be a really interesting Serie A title race this year.
Yeah, just quickly on Nainggolan. I mean, Icardi's had far too much kind of space in every kind of media outlet, whether it be newspaper or radio, over the years. We know his situation. Ranjan Nainggolan, again, an interesting character. You know, there was fallouts with Belgium, wasn't there? We all know him as a heavy smoker, but at the same time, he was brilliant for Roma. Lots of people rated him very highly, and when he went to Inter Milan, appeared to be a good signing. Why is he being shoved out the door?
For a start, he never really wanted to go to Inter. You know, he said he felt forced out. And Luciano Spalletti, who'd worked with him, probably got the best out of him at Rome previous, was then coach of Inter, took him over. And everything just seemed sour from the start. The deal that included $30 million plus a youngster called Nicola Zanioli, who's been brilliant. Inter didn't want to lose him. And Davide Sanson went over. It looked like a terrible deal. His performances, I don't know if it's motivation, if he was just disappointed with the move in itself. He didn't really perform at all to any high levels at Inter. Again, the stories of late nights out in Milan, in Bergamo. He crashed his car on his first day into training. You know, this guy's he's late. It is an extremely unprofessional attitude he's adopted. He's had that before. But Spalletti was able to sort of control it. He couldn't control that really last season. He found himself injured as well. So it never really got going. And I think that Antonio Conte has taken one look at this and thought he's the exact opposite of what he wants as a player. But if he applied himself, I mean, when he does, what a player.
If he applied himself, I suppose you could use that phrase when speaking about Paul Pogba. what's the latest with him? Because again, we've seen both him and Lukaku. They are down under. They're in Australia on Manchester United's pre-season tour. Again, the link is with Juventus. It feels like it's gone a little bit quiet.
Yeah, it's an interesting one because it's just how far Juventus can push the boat out for this. You know, there are some players that Juventus still need to get off their books, but they're not really going to, you know, get that much money raised from him. The likes potentially of Sami Khedira. There's talk of Mattia Perrin, the goalkeeper, going to Fiorentina. So there is still money that can be raised. And they've done fantastically well in their free signings this summer as well, especially obviously Aaron Ramsey, everyone knows. They've got Rabiot who's come over as well. And so it just wonders if the league goes for the estimated 60, 70 million euros, just if they would have that alleged 120 million to go and spend on that. Patrici, one of the directors at Juventus, however, is a huge Pogba fan, didn't want to let him go. And, you know, does seem to be the moving force now to try and get him back. Him and Pavel Nedved are the two main sort of head guys under Agnelli now. Beppe Rossi and Allegri have gone. So, yeah, there still could be legs in that, but I think they're wanting to sew up the delete deal first. Mm.
And, yeah, just lastly then on Juve, and I know I spoke about Maurizio Sarri earlier. I mean, he must be under a serious amount of pressure. We know what it's like at Chelsea, that basically if you don't win the league in your first season, there's a good chance you're not going to be there for your second. I mean, surely with what he's got at his disposal at Juve, when delete happens, if they get Pogba and if they get anyone else, I mean, it's a given they have to win that league. It's almost like a PSG situation now where they have to win the Champions League. That's what they're being, you know, kind of tasked with.
Absolutely. I mean, Allegri won successive doubles, and in the last season, you know, he didn't. They expected him not only to win the double, but to win the Champions League.
Yeah.
The fact that he didn't, and the fact that they didn't play good football in doing so, was enough. And when you think out of what was it now, say 8 domestic competitions, he won 7 in his time there. It's incredible, and yet he still went. So Maurizio Sarri isn't just under pressure here to get it right and hit the ground running. The fans will expect a domestic double. And the Champions League, with the likes of, like you say, you know, De Ligt, Ronaldo, the plethora of stars they've got, they will be expected to go extremely deep into that competition, if not win it.
Yeah, no, I tend to agree. Rich, pleasure speaking to you as always, mate.
Cheers.
There we are. That was Rich Hall, chief correspondent from Football Italia. So just to summarise what myself and Rich have just been talking about, that Matthias De Ligt deal looks all but done now to take him from Ajax to Juventus. He has been in Ajax training, but he has been allowed to speak to the football club, agree those personal terms. It is now all about getting that fee signed, sealed and delivered. Rumoured to be a €75 million asking price on Matthias De Ligt. Well, look, Juve, I'm sure they can afford it, but naturally we'll try push that down just a little bit. What a hell of a side Juve are putting together, aren't they? If they get Paul Pogba as well, I mean, I'd go as far as to say that will probably be the strongest 11 in world football. It's always been Barcelona, hasn't it, and Real Madrid. But I think if they get Pogba and De Ligt and Ronaldo, Buffon's gone back there as well. I know he's in his 40s now, but that's about as close to a Harlem Globetrotters side as you can possibly imagine right now in world football. So it'd be really interesting, really exciting to see when De Ligt signs and also if Pogba gets in, and also a word on the future of Romelu Lukaku. Both Mauro Icardi and Raja Nainggolan have been told they can leave Inter Milan. Manchester United, though, not particularly keen to take either of those players as part of a swap deal. But again, we feel like it's just a matter of time before Lukaku leaves the football club. Same with Paul Pogba. But anyway, when we come back after the break in the transfer rumour mill show, we're going to talk about Mo Salah. Last season, there were some suggestions and some rumours and some links taking him away from the football club. Well, they kind of resurfaced a little bit today. And it's not necessarily because of the way that Mo Salah's been playing. It's more because of Neymar. We'll be speaking to Ewan McTear, from La Liga, Spanish football expert, about where this rumour has come from and really if there's any chance this could happen.
Love Sport.
Yeah, welcome back. It's the Transfer Rumour Mill show. Jake Watson in for Johnny Burrow this evening. We've been talking... Serie A. We forgot what the league was called there, with chief correspondent from Football Italia, Rich Hall. Love speaking to Rich. Pretty much knows everything. A big Inter fan as well. But time to turn our attention to more kind of La Liga. Ewan McTear joins us now on the phone. Ewan, good evening.
Hi, how are you doing?
Yeah, very, very well indeed. Thank you. So, look, this one caught my eye this afternoon whilst looking for some stories to discuss with him on the show regarding Mo Salah. He had an absolutely incredible first season at Liverpool. I mean, didn't quite hit the heights for the second, but I mean, still well over 20 goals and the small matter of a Champions League. And there's been some rumours suggesting that Barcelona could be come sniffing again, but because they perhaps feel Neymar is now looking unlikely.
Yeah, you're right. Certainly not a bad second season when you finish at lifting that trophy in Madrid, a trophy Barcelona were very, very disappointed not to get and have been really going for it in the market by going after Neymar and Griezmann, trying to solve that issue. But the thing with Barcelona is they're sort of going after these players, I think, because the opportunity is too good. They already have enough attackers. They already have talented players. They have Coutinho, they have Dembele, Suarez, Messi. It's not that they need another forward. The situation for Barcelona is that Griezmann and his release clause haven't fallen to €120 million. That's just too good to ignore, and you have to go and pursue that option. With Neymar, this might be the one summer where he could actually leave Paris. You have to pursue that if you want to bring him back. So it's not necessarily that Barcelona just need any striker, and if they don't get these guys, that they'll then turn to the next best thing, which could be Mohamed Salah. It's just that they've got two really good opportunities they don't want to turn down. So that's why I struggle to believe that Salah really would be a plan B, because I don't think they have a plan B for this. I think it's just a plan A, and if they don't get it, they're happy with Dembele and with Coutinho being the other guys behind Messi and Suarez.
Yeah, so we know that Neymar is kind of keen to leave Paris and come home, as he has said, to Barcelona. But on Antoine Griezmann, Ewan, I mean, what's gone to happen there? It feels like it's gone a little bit quiet. So he made the announcement that he was ready to leave the club. It looked like it was all but done to take him to Barcelona. Again, we know what his release clause is. That's never been a secret. So why has this gone completely quiet?
Yeah, it's strange. It's got very quiet, but also quite nasty in the last week or so. Basically, Barcelona were waiting to activate Griezmann's release clause on 1st of July or after that. So his release clause at Atletico Madrid was €200 million, and on July 1st, it fell to 120, which for a player like Griezmann in this market is a great bargain. So everyone just kind of expected Barcelona to do that almost on midnight on July 1st, July 2nd, whenever suited. But they haven't done so yet, and part of the reason is because Atletico basically discovered that they agreed a deal with Griezmann between Barcelona back in March, and round about the time actually when they were preparing to try to defeat Juventus in the Champions League, something they didn't manage to do, crashing 3-0 in that second leg. And it's come out that Griezmann around that time was negotiating with another club, not just another club, but a club Atletico were going toe-to-toe with to try to win La Liga. So Atletico Madrid weren't very happy with that. Have been trying to work out if they can take legal measures, if they can try to maybe force Barcelona to pay €200 million instead of 120. And yeah, it's just gone a little bit nasty between the two clubs, and there's a lot of legal ramifications because of the fact that this deal was basically agreed 7 months ago, seven months before it should have.
Yeah, I mean, it could potentially leave Griezmann in an incredibly awkward situation, couldn't it? Because, as I say, he's been very public with his wish to leave. But then we've had the situation where Atletico have already signed his replacement. I mean, not just the fact that he plays in the same position. They've literally given João Félix, their new signing, Griezmann's number 7 shirt, haven't they?
Yeah, literally. And he was presented today in Madrid at the stadium with that number 7 shirt. As you say, Atletico, they went off on their pre-season training last night and Griezmann didn't turn up. He wasn't on the bus. João Félix was, and they've moved on. They've assumed that he's gone because, let's face it, at the end of the day, he surely has to. But you're right. If Barcelona don't take him, say they do get Neymar and decide not to have him, if Paris Saint-Germain isn't an option either, Real Madrid have already bought Hazard. I mean, there's not an unlimited number of clubs that could afford him, and maybe he's stuck in a team where they've already given away his number, already given away his position. I don't know, Atletico Madrid still need a right back. Maybe he'll have to spend a season there at right back wearing the number 2 as punishment. I don't know, I'm not ruling that out at this point.
almost feel sorry for Antoine Griezmann. It'd be really interesting to see where he does end up.
You're one of few.
Yeah, no, I get that vibe. And again, I kind of in agreement that the Mo Salah thing feels a little bit unlikely when Neymar and Griezmann are very much options, when you feel that they can only really get one of those. But Ewan, one transfer that's really been interesting to me over the last few weeks is West Ham's pursuit of Maxi Gomez. So, I mean, my belief was last season, around January, they really wanted to sign him. And there was a deal done to an extent. But Celta Vigo said, look, we're struggling at the moment in the division. We need you to stay, score the goals, keep us up, and we'll let you go in the summer. Now, the summer's come around and West Ham's still very much interested. But again, the deal isn't happening. But I'm reading that he wants to stay in Spain. Is that right?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. It's, you know, once it all gets said and done, it's going to make for quite an interesting story, this one. There's a bit of a rom-com, this love story that he's sort of had on and off with West Ham. Is he going to end up with West Ham at the end of the day? But yeah, January just sort of seemed a bit too soon. Celta Vigo were in relegation trouble. They managed to stay up. It just didn't fit time-wise. Now he's definitely going to be leaving Celta Vigo. It makes sense. But yeah, there was an agreement basically between the club and Valencia for Valencia to pay €16 million plus Santi Mina, one of their strikers, coming on a permanent transfer, plus one of their young, really talented young centre-backs, Jorge Sainz, to come on a one-year loan. And this sort of package deal was interesting to Celta because nobody was willing to pay his €50 million release clause. But now West Ham have, all of a sudden, at the last moment, you know, last 10 minutes of this rom-com, have, you know, they've gotten the taxi, they've driven to the airport, they've ran through the rain and they put down €50 million and said they're willing to pay that, albeit in instalments. And the salary that they could offer him would be bigger than what Valencia could. So I think Maxi Gomez is a Uruguayan. He likes La Liga. It suits his style, kind of. Speaking Spanish in Spain, it would be comfortable for him to stay in Valencia, go to a Champions League team. But West Ham could offer him a bit more money, and to play in the Premier League is something that he's certainly not ruled out. He's an admirer of English football as well, and he's got an option, he's got a decision to make, but so too does his club. So it's an interesting one just now. But yeah, he'll be at West Ham or Valencia, but I don't know. We're going to have to stay tuned to the final couple of minutes of this rom-com.
Yeah, and so what is the financial situation with Valencia? Because I know it's not been great, has it? You know, in years gone by, you know, they had those wonderful years, didn't they? You know, where they were very much the third biggest team in Spain, where it's not necessarily the case. Now, they have gone under a resurgence, but financially, you just feel that Maxi could probably earn twice as much in England. Now, I'm not saying that's going to be the deciding factor, but are Valencia able to offer, you know, a financial package kind of worthy of Maxi Gomez's talents?
Yeah, not really at the moment. Valencia just can't really compete with other Premier League clubs or, to be honest, the top three in Spain. Their financial situation is little by little getting better. Being in the Champions League 2 years in a row certainly helps with that. But yeah, Valencia is slowly trying to claw back after years of just poor financial management.
Yeah, mismanagement, to be honest.
Poor management altogether. I mean, you know, the Gary Neville years still sting for those.
No, I've forgotten about that. Yeah, don't remind us about that.
Yeah. That happened, and that almost highlighted just how the situation was. And they've still got a half finished stadium, and it's improving little by little. And if they can remain in the top four in Spain, remain in the Champions League, they will eventually be able to reach that kind of level that maybe Atletico Madrid have done after, you know, 7 or 8 years of consecutive Champions League football. But right now they're just not there. And yeah, West Ham have greater resources at this moment in time.
Yeah, so just how good is he then? If you're in Valencia, I've seen his goal scoring record for Celta Vigo. Basically, wherever he's gone, it's pretty good. We kind of know what he's like as a star. He's a big guy, isn't he? You feel like he'd perhaps be suited to the Premier League. But just how good is he? Are you surprised that maybe other Premier League clubs aren't sniffing around at that 50 million euro fee?
Yeah, perhaps. I think the fact that he's already been linked with West Ham makes sense that they're the ones that would be leading any chase. But he's an interesting player. He's very much a penalty box striker, and he can be very, very good when he's in the right team. But we saw at Celta Vigo last season when Iago Aspas, who is by far Celta Vigo's best player, he was out for about 2 or 3 months injured. And when he was out, Maxi Gomez wasn't up to much because basically there just wasn't anybody to get the ball into the box to him. So it kind of gives you a glimpse there of if he's in the wrong team, in a team that can't get the ball into him, when he's got no service, he can't create chances for himself. When he does have that service, when Aspas was back, yeah, he started scoring the goals again. So West Ham, yeah, this would be a great striker for them, but they have to ensure that they have players that can get the ball to him, because if he's expected to make his own chances in the penalty box, he's going to be a bit isolated.
Okay, perfect. Ewan, thank you very much for your time this evening. That was Ewan McTeer from La Liga Lowdown. Some rather interesting stories, aren't they, coming out from Spain with regards to Mo Salah. I can't see that happening. I can't see it. But at the same time, if Barcelona needs a new player to come in with their front three and Neymar and Antoine Griezmann can't happen, well, you know, could Salah, he'd naturally wouldn't be. He'd be next on the list, but you just can't see Liverpool allowing that deal to happen. And then also the lowdown on Maxi Gomez. That one's been going on for a little while now. Will he, won't he? I get the feeling eventually he will sign for West Ham, but it'll be a little bit later on in the window. Right, still to come before 10 p.m. this evening. As previously mentioned, we are going to be talking Leicester City and Youri Tielemans. It will be a little bit of a Leicester loving. Just warning you now. That's your 15-minute warning. We're going to have Lee Chappie, 100% LCFC, a.k.a. Jamie Vardy lookalike, joining me on the phone. So we'll talk about that signing for Leicester. Also, they've done Ayoze Perez from Newcastle, James Justin from Luton, maybe one or two players short from having a really, really good squad that could potentially challenge for, I mean, I don't even want to say it, but I'll say what other people are saying. They're saying that could potentially challenge for top six. I'm not trying to say that. I'm not trying to get too excited. I'm just very excited to have a young, exciting team with Brendan Rodgers. But up next here on the Transfer Rumour Mill Show, we're going to talk about Manchester United and one of England's most highly rated, exciting young talents who has been long linked with a move there, Jadon Sancho, former Man City player, now at Borussia Dortmund, doing wonderful things there. But Wayne Rooney, the Manchester United legend, has been talking about Sancho and what he thinks he'll do. Well, we're going to be joined by Alex Milne, who wrote this story for the Daily Mirror. Next.
This is Love Sport.
Yeah, welcome back. Transfer Rumour Mill here on Love Sport Radio. Jake Watson in for Johnny Burrow this evening. I've been talking La Liga and Serie A so far. Still to talk some Premier League stuff in just a few moments, but we're kind of focus a little bit on the Bundesliga. But there's some breaking transfer news in the last few minutes, and it does directly affect one of our London clubs, and that is that the deal taking Pontus Janssen from Leeds to Brentford has just been confirmed. It says on their official website, an undisclosed fee, but we believe it's around £5.5 million, that fee. Tell you what, that's a hell of a signing, that, for Brentford. And in terms of their model, and I know they hate that word, and the way they operate, it definitely goes against the mould. But at the same time, Pontus Janssen is a very, very good defender in the Championship. I think Leeds fans, just reading some of the tweets when they saw this story kind of developing over the course of the last few days, a little bit surprised to see him not move to the Premier League, or at the very least, maybe to a bigger club in the Championship. And again, I mean the greatest respect for Brentford, but that deal has now been confirmed. Pontus Janssen is a Brentford player. Right, let's talk about Jadon Sancho, shall we? Alex Milne from the Daily Mirror joins me on the phone now. Good evening, Alex.
Hello, gents. How are we doing?
Yeah, very, very, very well indeed. So let's talk about what Wayne Rooney has been saying. You've been doing just on an article on this and Jadon Sancho's future. I'll just read out the quotes and then you give me your kind of views and takes on maybe why he said it. So this is Rooney talking about Sancho. He says, Dortmund's a great club with great fans. They trust their young players. And you can see that in Sancho and the progress he has made in the last 12 months. Jadon's got to ask himself whether he'd get the playing time he gets in Dortmund when he moves to England, or will he just sit on the bench? Playing time is so important for a young player like Jadon. So if he gets the most playing time in Dortmund, he should stay there. I mean, I don't disagree with anything Wayne has said there, but at the same time, a little bit surprised that a Manchester United legend is almost putting off Jadon from joining his former club.
Yeah, that's what kind of caught me by surprise. I think possibly because he was talking to a German newspaper, he wanted to be slightly more pro-Dortmund and not so much pro-United. But I do think in a lot of ways it makes a lot of sense. Jadon Sancho, we all have to remember, is 19 years old. I mean, a lot of players haven't even started their careers or haven't blossomed any kind of player at that age. So I do think, what's the need for him to rush and change anything quickly? He made 43 appearances last season in all competitions for Dortmund, which is a lot for any player, let alone a player of 19 years old. And I think a lot of the time, us media and everyone really tries to get players to move a lot quicker than they need to. And if he's enjoying his football there, if he's having a good time, if he's scoring the goals, why should he move on? And I think that's kind of what Rooney's touching on there in a way.
Yeah, no, and I think we all tend to agree that I think lots of people sit here in this country and they are almost only just realising perhaps how good and exciting the Bundesliga is. But I don't think that Dortmund has ever been much of a secret, has it? I think it's always been everyone's like second club, hasn't it, or favourite club out in Germany.
Right, yeah.
So and it is a great place for him to develop. But at the same time, you know, he is an English lad and he is good enough, isn't he, Alex, to come and start for Manchester United, surely?
I think that's true. I think he would start, but the pressure he'd have at United compared to at Dortmund, I think, is a massive amount greater. If you look at where United are now, they need someone to come in to take the team by the scruff of the neck, to really kind of get the goals in and drag the team from where it is now, which is not in a good place. And I just think that's a huge amount of pressure for a lad who's only just out of his wife and his teenage years, really.
Yeah.
And I think also thinking about, would it realistically go through? I think Dortmund would be asking for, well, 100 million, maybe even more for the player. Would United be willing to spend that on a 19-year-old? Possibly not at the moment. So don't get me wrong, I think in a few years, Sancho to United makes a lot of sense, maybe even next summer. But I think right now, where he is at the moment, there's absolutely no need for him to move. And I think, yeah, Rooney's talking a lot of sense in what he's saying, really.
I mean, is there anything to be said about the fact that Jadon is a former Man City player? I mean, I know he was a Watford lad, wasn't he? He moved up from London as a kid.
That's it, yeah.
Is there anything at all that you think that would actually stop that deal for either parties? Either Manchester United or Jadon would say, well, actually, no, I'm a former Man City player. This kind of can't happen.
Oh, I don't see it potentially myself, to be honest. I mean, we've seen Harry Kane go on and play for Spurs, and he was an Arsenal. I hate to say as a Spurs fan, it breaks my heart, but he was a.
I've seen the pictures.
Oh, no, I want to erase him from my mind if I can. But no, I think as a youth player, you kind of start off wherever you can get in the door, don't you? And I think he happened to get in at City. Obviously, he then left and probably wanted to go in further with his career. I don't think he'd have any issues at all going back to United. If anything, he might quite fancy it to kind of get one back over City. So, no, I can't see that being an issue, to be honest.
Yeah, I do tend to agree. Playing devil's advocate somewhat. You just mentioned, yeah, Alex, you are a Spurs fan. You've actually got some transfer stuff to talk about.
you've signed a couple of players,
a whole two players, and other ones are being linked.
Two players in one day. It was like Christmas for the last 2 years rolled into one, although Jack Clark's obviously gone straight back to Leeds.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think the weird thing at the moment is that a lot seems to hinge on Christian Eriksen leaving, which is something I don't think any Spurs fan wants. I know he didn't have his best season last season, but I think if you ask any Spurs fan who's been, you know, the most important players of the last 4 or 5 years, it would be Kane, Eriksen, Ali, and I think Eriksen would always be right up there. So it's an interesting one whether we'd be happy to see Eriksen go or not, if it means bringing Lo Celso and maybe Ceballos, for example. Personally, for me, I think the time might have come for Eriksen to move on. I think in his heart, he wants to play at another club, which I don't have any problem with. He's been a great servant to Spurs. He's been there for a number of years, and he's always done the business for us. So I wouldn't resent seeing him go if it means we can bring in some fresh blood, maybe take the club in a new direction, and kind of, you know, the situation to end now before it gets to the stage where he really, really doesn't want to play and just is looking disinterested.
Yeah, no, it feels a weird one with Eriksen, because I heard stories, Alex, that kind of post pre-Champions League final, he'd started having his London flat, his London house all packed up because he was so convinced that the move was going to happen. And the rumours and the links were Real Madrid. But at the same time, it felt a little bit strange because you never felt that Real Madrid would sign both Eden Hazard and Christian Eriksen. And now that the Eden Hazard deal has happened, it feels the Real Madrid links have gone incredibly quiet. I can't see where he'll end up. And he feels that, you know, he's been so public about him wanting to leave, or he's made it very clear, hasn't he? I can't see where he's going to end up, because we know that Daniel Levy is not just going to give him away, is he?
No, it's a good point. And I think he's always been at that level, which isn't quite, for me, Real Madrid level. He's a very, very good player. We all know that. He's a talented player. Yeah. He's very unassuming. He's very quiet. He's not a typical Galactico that's going to go in and really wow the Madrid fans. And I just can't, for me, I can't see the fit of Eriksen in Madrid, which brings you on to your point. Where does he go? And I'm surprised that no other club's come in for him yet. I mean, I could see him at somewhere like a Bayern Munich, maybe.
a new German franchise, Bayern Dortmund.
Oh, yeah, that's it. Maybe somewhere like that, maybe at Munich. But yeah, and also on that point, I'm very surprised that no one yet has come in for Toby Alderweireld as well, because apparently you can get him for 25 million with his release clause, and that is absolute peanuts in this day and age.
That release clause is only, I think it's only applicable for the last couple of weeks in the transfer window. So I think something will happen, but maybe a little bit later on. But a couple of players that have been linked in. You mentioned Lo Celso and Ceballos, but also Ryan Sessegnon, the Fulham left back, England 21 star. 40 million quid, that's what Fulham want for him. Again, following that 60-odd million quid spent on Ndombele, can you see them spending that much?
I think if Poch wants him and Poch thinks he can live up to the potential that he's clearly got, then yeah, I can. Obviously, there's rumours of Danny Rose going. I think both full-back positions are positions where we can definitely strengthen. I know that Sessegnon didn't have his best season last season. He didn't really... Because I thought he'd go in from a championship and really, really take the Premier League by storm and wow everybody. He didn't really do that.
No.
No, but I think, you know, I mean, who did from Fulham? It wasn't necessarily his fault. It was Fulham had an absolutely terrible season. I think under the guidance of Pochettino, who obviously loved developing these young players, maybe he could. 40 million seems steep, but these days in football, what is money? Like, when you see players like Wan-Bissaka going for 50 million who had one good season in the Prem, the market's crazy, as we know. So if we sign Sessegnon for 40 million, I wouldn't be complaining, and I would trust in Poch to make him a really, really good player.
Do you think
very important for us?
Do you think there's been a shift change in the way that Daniel Levy is operating? Because not only has he been notorious for not really wanting to spend money, and I just couldn't ever see that Ndombele deal happening, but the fact that he spent over 60 million quid is a statement of not just by the football club, but from him as well. And also the fact that, Alex, he's done this deal so incredibly early, because, again, we know he's so notorious for wanting to wait for as long as possible to try and get, you know, supposedly a better deal. Do you think, with this new stadium and the Champions League final appearance, that he is going to start perhaps operating in a new way and use this opportunity and platform, which he now has, following those last two things I've just mentioned, to actually really try push this club on to the next level?
I'll tell you what, you make me a very happy man when you've been saying all those things. My goodness. the Ndombele one, it was rumoured for so long, and I was sure that we'd do a typical Spurs and we'd leave it too late and another club would come in and steal him from under our noses. I think that is an absolutely huge deal, because of he's not just a player of potential. He is arguably one of the best centre midfielders in Europe from what I've seen. He looks absolutely sensational. And I think a lot of it is to do with Pochettino. I think he will have come in at the end of the season and gone, right, we've got the new stadium, we were Champions League finalists, there's no more excuses for not spending any money. And I think Levy's gone, you know what, you're right. And he's accepted that, especially in today's market, you have to spend money to be competitive. And yeah, long may it continue. I think if we get in one or two more signings, maybe a Lo Celso, a Sessegnon, then I think we're going to be a real force next season. And yeah, it's exciting times to be a Spurs fan. It really is.
Yeah, I mean, if the season was to start right now, I'd definitely have Spurs well ahead of United, Chelsea and Arsenal. Is that a fair assessment?
I hope so, yeah. I mean, I think the next season's going to be weird. I think it's going to be more your clubs like Wolves, Leicester, Everton all pushing up and the likes of Arsenal and United maybe regressing. For me, I can see the top three being exactly the same. I've got it down as City, Liverpool and Spurs.
Yeah,
and then above Chelsea, obviously. Chelsea aren't getting anywhere near, are they?
No, we don't know.
But I think it's going to be a really interesting one. I can see a lot of teams like I said, United, Chelsea, digressing or regressing, and other teams coming up. But yeah, hopefully we can maintain a chase, we can compete on a few fronts, and do well next season.
Yep, perfect. All right, Alex, mate, really good speaking to you this evening. That was Alex Milne from the Daily Mirror, initially talking about Jadon Sancho and those links to Manchester United following his article in the paper. But also, as a big Spurs fan, having a little chat about them as well. It is exciting times. You know, spending over £60 million for a footballer, it is completely unheard of for that football club. And also getting that deal done really early. You can't blame him for being excited about that new season. I mean, if they get the likes of Giovanni Lo Celso and also Ryan Sessegnon in before the close of the transfer window, and it's exactly a month, isn't it? It's exactly a month it closes. So 4 weeks. 4 weeks to get your business done, chaps. But anyway, up next, we're going to talk Leicester City, and they've been getting some business done today. They've confirmed their club record signing of the Belgian midfielder Youri Tielemans from Monaco for £40 million. I have warned you, I am a Leicester fan. I am a little bit giddy. We're going to be speaking to Lee Chapman, 100% LCFC, aka Jamie Vardy lookalike, next.
For the fans, by the fans, Love Sport Radio.
It is Love Sport, and this is the Transfer Rumour Mill show with myself, Jake Watson, in for Johnny Burrow. For anyone wondering where he is, he's on his holly bobs. He will be back next week, ready for the season to get started. But as I mentioned, just a month left before the transfer window slams. It slams shut nice and early this season, doesn't it? It still feels weird because you expect it to be at the end of the month. But anyway, it is time to talk about Leicester City. We've put it off for entire 49 minutes and 41 seconds, but now is the time. Lee Chapman from 100% LCFC is on the phone now. Lee, good evening, mate.
Hi, mate. How are you?
I'm excited, mate. I'm excited. I'm trying to contain it, so I'm going to let you do it because nobody wants to hear me kind of giggle like a little girl over the radio. I mean, how
listen,
big is this signing, mate? How big is this?
We've all giggled like little girls earlier. This is massive, mate. I mean, he's probably the most sought-out European footballer, especially at the age of 22. He's got a crazy amount of goals as well, really. 285 games, 45 goals in his career. I'm just excited. He was brilliant at Leicester, especially when we were under Puel. We couldn't sort of get the ball through to Jamie Vardy much. And he just walked in and all of a sudden free balls coming everywhere. It was just good. It's just good stuff from his position. And I'm just looking forward to what he can do as a proper Leicester player.
Yeah, and I was saying earlier, I think I'd go as far, you know, Lee, as saying this is the best player we've actually ever signed. I'm not saying he's the best player we've ever had because, you know, Mahrez, Vardy, Kante, etc. But in terms of those guys kind of developed at the club, but in terms of what he is able to offer at the right here and now, I think this is the best player we've ever signed.
Yeah, I agree. You know, we've signed like your Jamie Vardy's and your Mahrez's, you know, for very small, very small clubs, for very, you know, least amount of money. This is a big, big, big signing. Lots of teams are interested in this guy. You know, he's an international star as well. And now, because he's been with Leicester last season, he's got a bit of Premier League experience. He's just the full package that all big teams should have gone for. And I've no idea why, but Man United will be crying over this one.
Yeah, no, I have to pinch myself to see my club spending £40 million on a player. And let's not forget as well, earlier in the week, it was another £30 million on Jose Perez. It didn't feel like a lot needed to be done in the summer with regards to bringing players in. Let's not forget James Justin as well, coming in from Luton. I mean, Lee, what else do they need? Or is it simply now thinking, well, that's enough. It's all about keeping Maguire.
Well, the thing is, I can't see Maguire actually going. There's no signs.
Can you not? Can you not see it?
It's constant media sources and rumours and stuff. But, I mean, he's got 4 years on his contract. Leicester have got no reason to want to sell him whatsoever. Unless someone outrageously bids, you know, like the new world record for a defender. And is that going to happen for Harry Maguire? Who knows? But if he's at Leicester this season, and we've got, obviously now, with Tillemans and Rodgers in charge of all of this, it's just exciting stuff, man. I'm excited for the season. I did originally want a new striker. I think we all did. I think because we need, like everyone says, the plan B. But maybe Brendan Rodgers can get something out of Kelechi Iheanacho, because he was good at Man City. Maybe he'll get another chance. I don't know. What do you think?
I'm kind of on the fence a little bit with both him and
Slimani. I am as well.
With him and Slimani, I think nobody can argue that they're both decent players, but for whatever reason, it's just not worked out, and neither of them are going to be happy to sit on the bench and play second fiddle to Jamie Vardy. And that's always the problem that Leicester have had over the last few years. A similar problem with Spurs have had, with having Harry Kane, signing Llorente and various others,
yes,
because he's their number one. And I said for a long time that we needed to sign our own Heung-min Son, you know, somebody who can play as a winger but also as a striker. And I think Eze Perez is actually that man. So for me, I don't think we need a striker. I think for me, if Vardy doesn't play, Perez will go down the middle.
Yeah, I mean, is he more of a number 10 role, right?
Yeah, no, he can play anywhere across the front three. He's just for me, he's not your out and out striker. He's an upgrade, I think, on what we've got out wide. And say he offers that versatility there. I don't think we'll sign another striker if I'm honest personally.
I think we might. I'm sure I've seen a rumour today. There's a winger. Is it Marseille's winger?
Florian Thauvin.
Yeah,
Florian Thauvin. Yeah, no, I did see
this. Is any truth to that? You know, that's another £28 million. Like,
yeah.
It's crazy, isn't it? Yeah. Leicester spending this sort of money.
Exactly. But Lee, people have been chatting and say, again, I'm not generally getting excited. I'm just excited about going to watch this team. Where it finishes,
yes,
what we do. Not to say I don't care less. I'm just saying I'm not sat here thinking, right, we need to finish top six now. But people are saying that we could potentially kind of gate crash that top six. It's a bit unsure as into what's going on at Chelsea and Arsenal. And I suppose Man United as well. I mean, how are you viewing it? Similar to me, or do you generally have these hopes that we could get in there?
No, exactly. I was speaking to Mark Holbridge earlier, just having a bit of banter about Tillemans.
Yeah, the big Man United blogger, yeah?
Yeah, even he said the same thing. Like, you know, Leicester are looking more and more like a dangerous threat to the top six, you know, breaking the mould of breaking the habit of the top six. Because that's what it is. It's boring, isn't it? It's the same teams over and over and over. Let's break it. And I think we've got the squad to do it now.
Yeah. Any fears of anyone else being picked off?
You know,
because this is the thing, isn't it? It's a very, very, very young side. I think at one point last season, Maddison was the oldest player in the midfield at 22.
Yeah, it's an English core as well. You know, it's crazy to think how many English players we are in our first 11. It's insane.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm looking forward to it, man.
Do you know what I'm excited about as well? Again, people haven't perhaps mentioned it. We talk about new signings coming in. Filip Benković, the Croatian defender who we signed last summer, and he went out on loan to Celtic, didn't he? Where, of course,
under Rodgers.
Yeah, Brendan will know him there. He'll be coming back this summer. And again, if we did, you know, and I hope we don't, if we do lose Maguire, I've got a feeling, yeah, Benković is a star. I saw some Celtic players going as far as saying that he was as good for them as Van Dijk was when he was at the club. Now, I'm not saying he's going to be as good as him, but
no,
basically saying they rated him very highly.
Yeah, you know, with Benković, and Morgan's maybe got another season in him. I don't really know. You know, I think he might get sidelined, to be quite honest. But Johnny Evans has probably got a good another season in him. He was solid last year.
Yeah, he was.
Give or take, probably as good, if not better, than Maguire. A lot of fans say.
I think he's a better defender than Maguire. I do.
Well, he's more experienced at the end of the day. He's played at the top level, hasn't he? He's won a lot of trophies. He's got a good record behind him. Maguire's not quite there yet, really, in terms of experience. But, he's going to be tough, isn't it? That bench with the defenders, it's going to be tough for Benković,
yeah.
Harry Maguire, and Johnny Evans, and Siyuncu. Don't forget the Turkish.
No, Lord Farquhar. He has not been forgotten. Lee, mate, we're going to have to leave it there, but absolute pleasure speaking to you, and hopefully I'll see you down the King Power throughout the course of the season.
Yeah, it'd be good. Good to catch up, man.
Top man. There we are. Lee Chapman there at 100% LCFC talking about our beloved Leicester City. It does feel strange. And apologies if you're not a Leicester City fan, which is a very good chance you're not. But £70 million spent over the course of the week on Eze Perez and Youri Tielemans. Rumours again of the Marseille winger Florian Thauvin for £30 million. What can Leicester do next season? Do you know what? Who knows? But it's going to be fun to watch, isn't it? You have been listening to the transfer rumour. It has been Jake Watson. Next week, Johnny Borough is going to return with just 3 weeks left of the transfer window, so all of this just accelerates that little bit more, so there'll be loads to talk about, I'm sure. I do hope you can join him. You've been listening to the Transfer Rumour Mill here on Love Sport Radio.
This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com.